the hatred toward God, the hatred toward God's people, the hatred toward things that are good. We live in a time where we see that they're calling good evil and evil good. We can see all those things, and doesn't it just really drag you down sometimes? And you get to thinking, when will this ever be set straight? I want you to take heart to know that God is going to set it straight. And the question is, how are we going to live this life as we look forward to that time? What we find here in the book of Revelation chapter 10 is an amazing event that happens right in the middle of these trumpet judgments before the final trumpet will be sounded. And there's this little pause in time. And so we're going to read Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 through 7, if you'd like to stand for the reading of God's word. I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, and there should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we read these words, we see that this is the marking in time that there was a point of no return. We've been reading and seeing that being played out throughout Revelation up to this point. And Lord, we acknowledge here today in worship of you that time will come. We are absolutely confident that you will fulfill your purpose. You are sovereign. You are king. You are glorious. You are wonderful, and your plan is perfect. So Lord, we worship you today because you are the king of the universe. You're the only true living God. Every other God that is presented to people on earth are counterfeits. They don't all lead to the same place. Every other counterfeit God in this world leads to hell. They are a product and a counterfeit that Satan poses to lead people astray from the true living God and the only way of salvation. And that way of salvation is not an it, it's a who, and it's Jesus, our Lord and Savior. You are the way. Thank you that you are also the truth and life. No one comes to the Father except through you. And so, Lord, let us confidently put all our faith in you today so that we know where we will be when our time comes or when this time comes. We will know. We can rest assured, we can be confident as we go forward proclaiming the gospel while we still have time. Because there will come a time when you will delay no longer. So Lord, thank you for delaying up to this point because it's given me a chance to be saved and all of the people in this room a chance to be here today. So Lord, bless this chance, this moment that we have, and help us to make the most of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can have a seat. Let's break this down a little bit and see what's happening. I've read different commentators and heard different people speak of this moment in the Bible. And sometimes they think by this description that this is Jesus' return and will claim that this is Jesus that we are seeing. But if we read that wording that we find in the scripture there, it says, I saw still another mighty angel. By it saying another mighty angel, it means this is an angel. This is a messenger of God, just like the other ones that we've been seeing up to this point. The ones who've been sounding the trumpets, the the different ones that have had activities where they are pointing to God. This is another mighty angel, and this one is representing the covenant-keeping, glorious God. He's the one who keeps his covenants. Did you notice that as we saw that description of him, we saw that he has a rainbow on his head? What does a rainbow represent? Can anybody tell me? Destroyed with the flood. Yeah, absolutely. That was the one time that he would do that, and that he was making a covenant with Noah during that day, that Noah could have confidence in his relationship with God because God would not break the covenant. Well, God also has made a covenant with us through Jesus, who gave his blood. And all those before who looked forward to the Messiah coming were saved in the same way that we are saved today, by looking to Jesus, knowing that he has done what he came to do. We are blessed because we get to look back and see that it actually happened. Amen? We get to know that it happened. We get to know that it's been fulfilled because Jesus was on that cross that day and he said, "It is finished." Amen? That meant the payment was paid in full. We get to see that there also was the time of the resurrection, that his body came up from the grave on the third day. We are confident of that. And so we are able to put our faith in the one that has done it. And so now we see that in this, we have this mighty angel that comes back to represent that covenant-keeping God. And he confidently is going to bring this all to its proper end in that due time. And you know, what he's really coming back to do is reclaim what is already his. Emma, that's enough. Get up and sit down beside your mother. Thank you. I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was on his head. He represents that covenant. His face was like the sun and his feet like pillars of fire. Sounds like a wonderful presentation of power, doesn't it? How awesome that God sends representatives to represent him in a time that is so important. Let's see where he places those feet like pillars of fire. In that next verse, we see that he places his feet in a particular position. And if we notice, He puts his feet on the possession which God is claiming. He had that little book in his hand. Remember, there was originally that scroll that had the seven seals on it, and it had writing on the front and back, and it seemed to represent something like almost like a deed. It was a claim. It was a document that showed ownership, and it was recognizable because that's exactly how they did them in their day. And so it was all explained that way so that I believe we could see that what God is doing is what he is claiming back full possession of what is rightfully his all along. He made this heaven. He made this earth. He made that water. He made, in fact, it refers back to that later on in this. He's the one who made it all. What are they teaching in our public schools today? God had nothing to do with it. Evolution did it. We all came from slime. Do you see that is a direct attack on the sovereignty and the ownership of God? So regardless of what they're trying to teach in those instances of the origins of things, and they're trying to take thousands of years and say they were actually millions and billions of years and all of that, and this is a journey we all need to take in our own minds. Is the Bible true? If it is, then it needs to be the lens that we begin to look at all these things through. And do you know there is more proof in science of a young earth than what there is of an older earth? Research it yourself and look. But what I would say is the prince of this world is setting up a counterfeit like everything else, trying to take away from God, trying to prove God had nothing to do with it, because I'll tell you what, God had everything to do with it, and it proves his ownership over it. And if we look here yet one more time in the scripture, and I'm telling you, the scripture is filled with references to God being sovereign over his creation. It says again and again and again throughout the scripture. You look in Psalms and you'll see references over and over and over again to the fact that God created all things. So he had a little book in his hand, and I think this is just yet another reminder of his ownership over planet Earth. And he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. He's a messenger of God in that next slide, remembering in verse 3, and cried with a loud voice. You know what? Boldness, proclaiming, this is God's. This is God's. You know what, guys? That same Holy Spirit that lives in you proclaims that today. We should be proclaiming. We shouldn't be walking around all meek and mild in this world saying, oh, you know, it's just so terrible, all these things that are happening in this world. We just can't do anything about it. Oh, yes, we can. We have the power of the living God living in us. Amen, church? We have prayer. We can call out to the one who created it all. You know, he has the ability to even today set things straight and work things toward the proper end in our day today as well. Not that we will avert this moment eventually will come. But you know, while we're waiting for that moment, we should be purposefully living for God to draw other people to the Savior. It's so amazing how God works too. You know, every meeting that you have is a divine appointment. So I don't know how much you guys know about, you know, what it's like to have a big family and stuff like that. But a big family, as your kids grow up, you got a lot of drivers. Okay, because they get to be 16 eventually, and we teach them to drive. And that means you got a lot of need for vehicles then, right? Right now in the Jones household, we've got a lot of drivers and two vehicles. That's not working out very good. And so we started thinking about this, and I realized, you know, I need another car, so I just decided just to get a little beater car. You know what I'm saying? Something that was cheap, it runs good, looks terrible. You'll probably see me driving around in it sooner or later. Not a lot to it. It's nothing to be desired. I can leave the keys in it because nobody would think of stealing it. But, you know, in the process of doing this, you know what I'm also thinking? This is going to put me in contact with a person that I probably would never meet any other way. So whenever I go to see this car, I'm also going to see the person that owns this car. And you know what that person has? A soul. They have a spiritual side to them that needs to know where they're going to be when they draw their last breath on planet Earth. Amen? So that has to come in. That has to play in and factor into this meeting, because this isn't a chance meeting. This is a divine appointment. And so all the way there, I'm praying, you know, God, help me to have the right words to say. Help me to bring up that uncomfortable subject, right? It's always uncomfortable to bring it up. But you know what? There's going to come a day that one who God created is going to stand before the God who created him, and he's going to give an account for his life. And if he don't know Jesus, we know what the end will be. Amen? And so, bought the car, and yes, it made it home. We gave it a good test drive, an hour and a half to get home from where it was at. But while I was paying for that car, I asked him if he knew where he would spend eternity if he drew his last breath today. Young man, you'd think, well, maybe he never even really thought about it. But as it turned out, it opened up just a glorious time of conversation. Turns out, he's been drawn to start going to church here lately. It's kind of a new experience for him. He's been listening to a preacher who's really preaching God's word, and God has been drawing his heart. And do you see, it was like the preacher was speaking directly to him whenever he was preaching the gospel. And when the preacher 2 weeks ago was saying that he had led somebody to Christ to surrender their heart to Christ to be saved, it turned out the person the preacher was talking about had the same name as this young man. He said, it was just like he was talking to me. And he said, and while he was talking about it, I just felt my heart start to change. You see, guys, when I went to look at that car, you would have thought the car was the point, but the car was never the point. It was that man's soul that was the point. And you see, God divinely appointed that I would be there at that moment in the whole progression of time. And he prepared that young man's heart so that I could help to affirm what was happening in his life. It was so amazing. God had already prepared the soil. And I'll tell you, every part of our conversation up to that point didn't really look like there was much of an open door until I asked that question. And I found the soil was fertile. And he was so thankful that I took the time to talk to him because it was affirming what God was already doing in his life. And so I explained to him that what was happening was the drawing of the Holy Spirit. And what he needed to do was let go of the reins of his life that he's been trying to control the direction of his life and give it to Jesus because he can trust him. And I shared my testimony with him. And I looked him in the eye and I said, would it be okay if I prayed for you? He said, absolutely. And so we stood and prayed, and I prayed that as God was drawing him, he would give his heart to Jesus fully. Wow. Why would God want to use us for something so important? But I want you to know, he's chosen you. He wants to use you. We can't save anybody, but God's already doing the work. All we need to do is be obedient. Go ahead and have that uncomfortable conversation. I'd like to tell you that we knelt there together and he poured his heart out and gave his life to Jesus. It didn't happen last night. But I don't know what happened when he got home. I don't know what happens today. He assured me he was going to be back in that church today. Praise the Lord. You think there's some spiritual battle going on for that young man? Satan don't want him to find Jesus. Amen? But you know what? Satan don't, he don't have a last say. He's the one that is at the tail end of this event that we're reading about today, and he's just about to get what he's got coming at this moment. Praise God, he gets what he's got coming. Amen? And praise God, he can't stop that young man from getting saved. So I think we should just stop and pray for that young man right now. Let's do that. Dear Father, I just want to pray for that young man. I could just see how you were working in his life. And he was just explaining exactly how I felt myself when you were drawing my heart. And I know there was a spiritual battle just raging in my heart in those days. But thank you, Lord, that when it came time, you called me to yourself and I received you. And Lord God, nobody can take that away from me. Thank you, Jesus. So I pray that you would save that young man as well. Thank you, Jesus, for putting me in his life for just a moment. Thank you. My wife was getting to have a conversation and witness to his friend, too, at the same time. Thank you, Lord, that if we will live intentionally, you'll use us. And I hesitate to even talk about this event because I don't ever want anybody to think it's about me. Lord, but I want this congregation to know that you want to use all of us in this way. The first and main thing we need to do is surrender it to Jesus. If we surrender our life to Jesus, you will use us. So help us, Lord, and help us to be intentional in Jesus' name. Amen. We are blessed, and I can tell you guys, we don't have to be afraid to open our mouth. You see? Just like he cried out with a loud voice, he had the authority of God to do that as a lion roars. Just the roar of a lion is enough to paralyze its prey, to send it the other way. We know exactly who lives in us. I pray that you know you have the power of God available to you. When he cried out, these seven thunders uttered their voices as well. This is an interesting moment in this as it plays out, because some of what God plans to do, we're not really meant to know yet. We're kind of living in that moment, aren't we? We don't know the day or the hour, do we? I've heard people try to predict it, and it's a waste of time, and if they do that, I quit listening to them. I don't even want to hear anymore what they have to say, because you know what? It says in the Bible, no one knows the day or the hour. Not even the angels, not even the Son whenever he said it, only the Father in heaven. So it would be like ridiculous for anyone to ever think that they know, because we're not meant to know. You're supposed to be expecting it could be today. That's the way God wants us to live. And listen, now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, we get the idea. If you heard Thunder Boy really crack loud and real close, I think that's what these voices were like. And he was about to write it down because he was told, record everything you see and hear, right? Just record it. Just record it so that it would be here for us. But this moment, he heard another voice from heaven saying, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered and do not write them. Can you imagine? It must have been like he probably felt like a balloon that was about to burst. You know what I'm saying? Because like that is just, he heard something we don't get to know. I was sitting here pondering this, and I was thinking, man, I wish I knew what that was. But you know, really, if I wasn't meant to know, I shouldn't even want to know. I got enough. I have enough. You know, there is so much, of people trying to figure out all these little nuances and trying to do Bible codes, and they're sure God must have hidden something in there, and for some reason he wants to play peekaboo with us and act like that he's holding back on us and it's like this game to him. That's all nonsense. Everything you need is available to you. We have all things for life and godliness. It says that in the Bible. So here, rather than trying to look for all these secret codes and trying to figure out all the things that we don't know and we're not really supposed to know, how about what did Jesus write in the dirt that time whenever they were about to stone that young lady? You know why it didn't say? Because we don't need to know. And I hear all these, I've heard sermons based on what he probably wrote, and we don't know. I have an opinion. My opinion's just as important as anybody else's. What really matters is we have everything we need for life and godliness. Let's act upon that. If we needed to know what these seven thunders said, God would have told us. We got what we need. Just remember this, that when he comes back to claim it, he's claiming the property he made. Get it? It's his already. So whenever we see this angel, we see standing on the property God made, and he's swearing an oath by the Creator that it is time to take it back from the sway of the devil. And that next couple verses, there 5 and 6, we see that. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven. Why did he do that? He was swearing that this was going to happen based on the authority of that one, God. It wasn't the angel that mattered. It wasn't really, it wasn't really him standing there that mattered so much. It was the one he represents that matters. And he raised up his hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven. Let's say it together. He created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. Who created it all? It says there, and that's where we base our hope that he has the authority to take it back. God ain't coming back to steal anything. You can't steal what you already own. He's coming back to claim what is his. And you know how we know it's his? Because he created it. All of this is what God revealed was his plan all along through his story in that next slide. You know, you think about that, his story, it's an awful lot like the word history, isn't it? You know, that's the way I like to look at history. You know, they're always revising history, and that's just such a shame. You shouldn't try to change history. It actually happened, and it happened the way it happened, and it happened for a reason, and guess what? It happened because of the authority of God, and it's all going to work into his plan. It's actually his story. And as we look here, we're seeing that all of this is not some new thing that just comes up in Revelation. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished as he declared to his servants, the prophets. You see, he told us ahead of time so that whenever it happens, we'll connect the dots and we'll go, oh, yeah, that's exactly what he meant. Whenever he told it thousands of years before, we will know it's him. We will know that it was purposeful. We will know that he is sovereign. And you know what? He will be worshipped forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And I think that our forever is going to be just absolutely riddled with new understandings of how God was working it all to that moment and for his glory all along. You know those weird things that happen in your life and you just can't put your finger on why? Even those times whenever maybe you had to suffer a little bit or a lot, and you're wondering why, what purpose did that have? You know, a lot of times people get upset at God and they turn away from him in that moment. That is so silly. Don't do that. Because you see, God's going to use it all. He's going to use the bumps. He's going to use the bruises. All of this is part of his story. And you know what? I've had times whenever I sort of question a little bit. It's like, God, why would you let that happen? I just don't understand it. It would boggle my mind. And you know, one day I was thinking about that, and I realized it's because, you know, it's real easy to say I love Jesus when everything's going good. The question is, will I really mean it that I love Jesus even when things are going bad? That says a whole lot more. You know, like if I just gave my kids, you know, a big gift, and they come over and they say, Dad, I love you. Like, yeah, you know, that would be a natural moment. But, you know, whenever we have that uncomfortable moment where we have to discipline our child and they're sad and they go to walk away, but they turn back around and they say, I love you, Dad. It's a lot bigger, ain't it? So as God directs us, even these moments whenever it looks so bad, you gotta understand there's a purpose for it. In the long run, the bigger scheme, the eternal scheme. And I'll tell you, we're not going to be sitting around in heaven going, boy, I just so wish that this one thing wouldn't have happened. It won't be like that. When you get there, things are going to come together. You're going to be able to see the glory of God, and you're just going to be so glad you're there. And you're going to say, whatever it took to get me here, it was worth it. It was worth it. Because we're going to get to see it all played out. And I'll tell you, none of it's being done by just mere accident. Yeah, some things are just bad. But you know what? God says that he uses all things to the glory, to the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And all of it will glorify him in the end. Amen? So, there's going to come that day when there be no more delay. My last question is, are you indeed ready for that day? What does it take to be ready for that day? It takes giving your heart to Jesus, becoming a child of God. What does it require of us to believe, to surrender our heart to Jesus? Do you believe God sent him to die for your sins? Do you believe it was your sins that, at least in part, caused him to have to die on the cross? Do you believe he rose again on the third day? Do you believe he went back to heaven and he's prepared a place for all of his children? Then surrender your heart to him today, and one of those places will be yours. If you haven't already done that, today would be the day of salvation for you. If you have already done it, then celebrate today. That your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Celebrate that now we get to live for Jesus with the full power of God. Celebrate that God is indeed coming back to claim what is rightfully his. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we come to you at the end of this reading, there's so much more. But Lord, we're going to take just this little tidbit in this moment in time where we see that you sent a messenger to put his feet on earth and in the sea and claim everything that's in earth and sea that you created. You're taking it back. And for those who are your children, we will get to enjoy it forever, perfected. So Lord, help us. Help us to be ready for that day. Help us. Then, as believers, to be doing what you left us here to do, making disciples of all nations, helping others to be prepared for that day. Lord, use us, bless us, strengthen us, And for anybody here that doesn't have salvation yet, save us. Lord, bring them to the point of kneeling down in their heart of hearts and giving you control of their lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.